something that God is speaking to you, then do that also. And I'm sure that he'll be there to hear your prayer in it. Amen. Well, we have an opportunity again to hear the word of the Lord. And usually I'll go from a sister in the house. Well, this gal is a sister in the house, and she's my sister, and she's my sister-in-law, and she's related to all the other sisters that are in the house. And Mary, would you come? Let's give her a hand this morning. God bless you. I do want to say something about Mary years back, many years ago, and I know that she looks so young. It doesn't seem like it could be many years ago. But the fact is, when the church was trying to get a grip on spirit, soul, and body, okay? And you know, that was back in the early 80s. And Mary was, she had a tenacity on the inside of her. She was going to take that thing on. And so she did, and it was a great, great benefit to almost every church up in the Northland that we have been made in his image, spirit, soul, and body. Revelation, and it changes people's life. And I thank you for your revelation as you did that and so many other things. God bless you.
Good morning. I'm going to back this up a little bit. Can I back this up again? I feel like it's so close. Well, how great to see you guys.
Yes.
This morning, how many of you are just thankful for the rain and the cooler weather? I was like, whew. You know, when we lived in southern Texas, in the summertime it was so brutally hot that when we would travel home, we would hit like Minnesota and it was like, whew. It was like you could your head was clearer. You could think straight. And I was feeling like that yesterday when we were walking, because this summer has felt like we've been living in southern Texas. It's crazy. So I feel like my head's a little clearer. I don't know about yours, but mine is. When Pastor Jake asked me to share yesterday, I was like, okay, I can do this. As I was praying and asking the Lord, and I wasn't really feeling very good yesterday, so I was kind of struggling. Been in a season of some warfare. But we are victorious. We are overcomers. And as I prayed, the Lord spoke to me and he said, remind my church of who they are. And I think sometimes when we're in intense warfare, excuse my voice, we're in intense warfare, we forget who we are. We get in the battle, we get in the heat of it, we get into, we get into spirit, soul, and body, even as he mentioned. We get into, we're struggling to hear from God, and we're struggling to find, our place in our soul where we find rest and peace. And part of that battle is finding rest and peace and coming into that place where we know that he is the one that's in control. He's ultimately the one that has fought the battle. He's won it for us. And so our battle is to get into that place where he has already won that victory. And when I was fighting breast cancer, the Lord told me, I was struggling with my health. I was struggling with getting healed. I was struggling. I was going through treatment, and I wasn't feeling good, and I was struggling. And the Lord told me one day, he said, why are you fighting a battle that's already won? So when we're in the midst of our battle, we need to realize that he is the one that fought that battle, and he won that battle. And we just enter into that finished work. And so in this process, I don't know if most of you know, but my mother passed away 3 weeks ago. She was 96, almost 97. How was she, 97? 96. She was 96, she was going to be 97. We, from probably January on, I mean, my mother was a very healthy woman, very independent woman, lived in her home all these years, was a strong woman. And to watch her start to fail was hard. And one day I said, Lord, this is really hard. I was struggling. I was struggling in my soul. I was struggling with giving up part of my life to care for her. I was like trying to, we had moved her up to here. She got to the point where she needed 24-hour care. There's four of us girls, and you know, we were all trying to fit this into our life. And it wasn't easy. And I found out even in myself that I was very selfish. I said, God, I'm very selfish. Because I needed to dedicate this time to my mom. And yet in my person, this wasn't what I had planned for the summer. I hadn't planned that. We came home from Texas in Easter, and pretty well for the remainder of the summer, we cared for my mom. And one day the Lord just said, Mary, I said, God, I am battling in this. I'm struggling. It's hard to watch my mom fail. It's hard to watch somebody suffer. She ended up with a lot of pain at the end. And one day the Lord just said, Mary, do you trust me with your mom? And I had to come to the place where I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. And when I surrendered and I just came to that place of trust, I said, God, I trust you. Whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to walk through, I trust you. And at that time, the peace of God came over me. The peace of God just came over me. I was fighting a battle, and all I needed to do was really surrender, because it's already been won. And when we can surrender and come into that place of trusting God with what we're going through, if we can come to that place where as we surrender, as we lay down, I had to lay down my soul, I had to lay down my will, my emotions, I had to lay down everything and say, yes, God, I trust you with this. And the peace of God. You know, we talk about the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's our battle, is to get into those three things. So how important it is to hear the voice of the Lord. How important it is when we're in the battle to keep our hearts open. We have an enemy that wants to cause us to shut off our heart. That's our battle. The battle is to keep our hearts open in the midst of whatever we're going through. And then hear his voice. Because that's when the peace of God comes. That's when the righteousness comes. That's where, you know, the joy. There is a joy in the battle that I can't explain, but it's something spiritual. And even though sometimes what we go through and what we have to battle in our lives is hard, there is a place in his kingdom. There is a place where we can enter into that righteousness, that peace, and that joy. Jesus, the word says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We know the agony and the pain and what he went through when he died for us. But there was a joy that he's seen up ahead, and that was you. He's seen you. And in that, he said he endured the cross. Joy that was set before him. The last 2 weeks, the anointing of God and the presence of God has been so powerful on the messages here. Tom had an amazing message 2 weeks ago, and David Lyon had an amazing message about that God uses imperfect people. And so we have to understand that, you know, sometimes we think we have to get to that perfect place. But no, we don't have to understand that. We have to understand that Christ is in us. He died so he could live within us and fight these battles for us. He's already won. So last Sunday I was sitting there and it's just like, God, I've been in Revelation 3 lately. I've just been kind of hanging out there. And it's where God is talking to the seven churches. And one thing he says to the church is to open your heart. Keep your heart open. He also talks about being an overcomer. And in all seven of those churches, there was, if we go through them, and I won't because that's a whole long teaching in itself, but it talks about how each church, you know, God spoke to those churches. And he said, there's some things I have against you. But he also said, if you open your heart and you hear, then you'll overcome. Yeah. And with every battle that each church fought, there was a promise and a crown of victory. There was a promise. If you go in there and read them, at the end it says, you know, there's a promise. And so I believe every one of those battles and every one of those churches are things that we're all going through. And I don't know about you, but raise your hand if you've been in a battle. Okay. Two hands. Sarah raised two hands. I feel like I'm in a two-hand battle too. But we need to open our heart. And I just heard God say that last Sunday. Open your heart. And I will speak to you in your battle. You know, when I went through breast cancer, I was like, I've been healthy all my life. I just have been healthy. So for this to have this battle just seems really weird for me. And I really didn't even really believe it was happening. But of course, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to lie to us. And you know, sometimes we listen more to him than we listen to the Lord. And we, you know, I started to think, what have I done wrong? You know, all those questions, all those why questions. It's like, man, have I sinned, God? How did the enemy get in? And I was just battling with these questions of, and actually I was with Jenny. She's my godchild. She is my niece. She's sometimes my counselor. But we were just walking, and it's like, Jenny, you know, and we just got talking about why things happen in our lives and what's the struggle. And when I got home, the Lord said to me, I think it was that night or sometime later, he said, because we always go to, you know, we're messed up and God's angry at us and the enemy tries to make us feel like, oh, we've goofed up and we messed up and we've done something wrong. And we feel like, you know, when we're in a battle. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, was Daniel in the lion's den because he sinned? I was like, no, God. He was in the lion's den because he obeyed you. He trusted you. He stood for you. He stood tall. He didn't bow to the enemy. And sometimes we are in battles, and the Lord spoke to me, sometimes we're in battles because we are in a process. We are in, you know, it says in Proverbs 17:3, in the same way that gold and silver are refined by fire, the Lord purifies our hearts by the tests and trials of life. And he just spoke to me that sometimes we're in a battle, we're just being purified. Our hearts are being purified. And I felt that in this last battle with my mom. My heart was being purified in another step. I was laying down some of my ways and my selfishness and my thoughts. And you know, that's what we're in. We're all in a battle. God has a purpose for your battle. It isn't always fun. But God is refining our hearts in the battle. But when we become victory, when we find that place of victory, there's a promise. You know, what happened to Daniel after he got out of the lion's den? He was promoted. So we have to know that when we're in our battles, and that when we have our hearts open, and we're hearing his voice, his spirit is within us, the Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us, that there's a promise at the end of our battle. For me, I watched my mom go into glory. I literally watched her experience what we all hope for someday. I literally watched it. The presence of God was so strong in those last days as she gave up her will and died. We seen God in everything that was happening. I personally even seen glimpses of glory in her eyes. So I believe that's my promise in that battle. I could have missed it. I could have missed that because of just being selfish or being whatever. I could have missed it, but I didn't. He showed me that glimpse. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't what life is all about? The Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, tell my church who they really are. So I just want to share a few things with you, a few scriptures of who we really are, because I think sometimes in the midst of the battle, we forget who we are. And I think sometimes as we watch the news and as we see what's going on in our world and we just see what's happening in all around us, and even in the midst of our own personal battle, every one of you raised a hand, you're in the midst of a personal battle. I want to remind you who you are today. What I'm going to read right now, I want to tell you, is the truth. And it's beyond how you feel. Colossians 2, if you have a Bible, go to Colossians 2, 9 through 15. I'm just going to read it. For he is the complete fullness of the deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. This is the church. This is us. This is us as believers. We know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Sometimes we're trying to fight a battle that's not ours. It's already been won. Our completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. He is the head. Wow. Think about that as we watch the news. Through our union with him, as we come together with him, when we have him living within us, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. I believe that our battles cut off the things that we don't need in our heart. It just cuts them off. Yeah. Cuts them off. It's circumcision. Cutting off the flesh. Helping us to walk in the Spirit. Helping us to walk in the things of God. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of the heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. You know, I said to you when I had breast cancer, I was like, why? You know, did I do something wrong? Did I not? But he cut off all guilt and sin. That's been cut off of my life and is extinct. It's gone. The blood of Jesus, the cross, did that. It cut it all off. We are now in union with him. The life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. I live, Galatians 2:20, it becomes real. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. All the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. He's won the battle. He accomplished it on the cross. We just enter in. Church, we enter in. We have to believe this. We have to believe that when he went to the cross, he died for our sins. When we accepted him into our life, we became a new creation in Christ. That new creation is Christ in us. And that is our life. That is who we are. I'm not the old person that was cut off, the sins, the things, and my shortcomings, and all the things that I struggle with. And we talk about, mind, body, soul, spirit, will, all those things have been cut off. If I surrender my life to him, those things are cut off. And if we can walk in the newness of life, it's Christ in us. I'm just going to go to a few scriptures. 2 Peter 1, 4. Everything we could ever need in life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So everything that we need to fight this battle, everything that we need to walk this walk out, Christ has already deposited it in us. For all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given us magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corruption and desires of the world. That just was telling us that we are filled with the divine nature of God. That's what's in us. He's in us. The divine nature of God. All power, everything that was in Christ is in us now. I'll go to Thessalonians. Just going to read a few scriptures just to remind us of who we are. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5. For you are all the children of light, the children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. For those who sleep, sleep the night away. Drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our heart and the helmet of hope and salvation over our thoughts. For God has not destined us to experience wrath, but to possess salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. He gave his life for us so that we may share in resurrection life in union with him, whether we're awake or asleep. Because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another. Wow, how powerful is that? That's where we're at. We need to stay. I talked about being clear-headed. Sometimes when we're in the trial, things get foggy. I don't know for you, but sometimes things get foggy for me. But God said, stay alert. Stay clear-headed. And he's given us that power within us to fight these battles, to be overcomers. We are called to be overcomers in every battle we fight. We are called to be victorious. And sometimes it maybe doesn't look like it in the middle of the battle. But if we press into his anointing, into his life, into his victory, we will be overcomers in our battles. And I think when he said to be clear-headed, he said, you know, sometimes we just have to cut off the lies of the enemy. When we're in the midst of the battle, the enemy rages, and sometimes we listen to his voice. Sometimes I listen to his voice more than I listen to the voice of God, the Spirit of God. But God is saying, be alert. Wake up. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the word of God. Walk in what he has spoken, what he has said. Don't believe the lies of the enemy of who he says we are. Don't believe the lies of the enemy of our past and our sins and the guilt he wants to put on us and the shame he wants to put on us and the things that he's told. We need to believe that Christ overcame that all for us. For us to walk in victory in every trial. There's a victor's crown. And I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're battling. But he has the answer. His Spirit will lead you. His voice will speak to you. And you will have the victory. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 5:8. I'm in 2 Peter, sorry. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roars like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. Said right there, in the battle, there is the enemy, but we take a strong stand against him. How do we do that? We do it with the word of God. We do it with what he has spoken in our heart. That's why we talk about praying in the Holy Spirit. We talk about reading his word. You know, how can you fight a battle if you don't know what you already have? There is inheritance that God wants to give. God told me to remind you who you are. We are the doorway where the Spirit enters the earth. Think about that. We are the doorway. We are his hands and his feet. As I care for my mom, my hands, my feet, it was an extension of Christ. Everything that we do to help someone, everything that we do as we pray and believe, we are the doorway to the Spirit of God in the earth. You might be the only Jesus some people will ever meet. Wow. In Romans 8, it says we are not separated from the presence of God. We know Romans 8, it says nothing can separate me from the presence of God. The presence of God really means, if you really seek that out, it means face to face. There is nothing that can separate me. No battle, no devil, no person can separate me. I can get into that place where I'm face to face. His presence. We have to realize how important the presence of God is in our lives and how we need to get into it daily. It's not hard. Sometimes it's just sitting and getting quiet. Just saying, God, here I am. I need you today. Can't fight this battle on my own. I need you. I need your presence. And he'll come every time. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, we always triumph in Christ. We always triumph in Christ. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we release a fragrance of his love. We release fragrance of the knowledge of God wherever we go. There's a fragrance that should come out of our lives as we walk in the Spirit. It should be a sweet smell. So now I've talked about who you are, and God, I want to talk about who the church is for a minute. The church is the bearer of light. You know, sometimes we just get caught up in the world, and we get caught up in religion, and we get caught up in Christianity, and we get caught up in numbers and ways and things of how we're going to make this work, and we forget we are the church. We're just the church. Not just the church. We are the church. We are the church. I don't care if there's 2 of us or 10 of us or 20 of us or 200 or 2,000. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. We're bearers of light. I don't know about you, but I think our world needs a lot. There's a lot of darkness going on. We need to shine forth the light of God. We are followers of the Lamb. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says, you are holy. We are holy. The church is holy. We are holy. We are a healed church. The devil might say something different, but we are a healed church. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, we are healed. We are healed. We are whole when we walk in his Spirit. The church needs to be a healthy church. This is what we are. We're not lame. We're not broken. We are strong in him. We're a healthy church. 3 John 2, and we're a happy church. John 15:11, there should be a joy that is produced in our life. We talk about the kingdom of God. We're walking in the kingdom. We're not walking of this earth. We are walking in righteousness, peace, and joy. I can't explain the joy. I can't, but there is a joy. Even in the midst of our trial, there is a joy. The Lord spoke and said, who are we as Christ followers? We are the light of the world. We are salt and light. That's who you are, salt and light. Wherever you go, you're salt and light. We're a city set upon a hill. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. We're a city set up on a hill. We're people of the Word. We're disciples, we're witnesses and followers of Jesus. That's who we are. We're prophets, we're evangelists, we're pastors, we're teachers. We're children of the cross. We're children of the cross. We're fruit of an empty tomb. We walk in resurrected life because of what Christ did. He is resurrected. He came out of the tomb. We are fruit of an empty tomb. We're world changers. We're history makers. We're products of the upper room. If we're Spirit-led, if we have the Holy Spirit living within our life, we are products of the upper room. We're redeemed of the Lord. We're forgiven, we're free, and we're favored. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven, we're free, and we're favored. I'm just reminding you, this is the church. We're called and chosen. I am called and chosen. You were called and chosen for such a time as this. God knew that he was placing you in 2021. You're called and chosen for this time. We're warriors and worshipers. That's what the church is. We're warriors and worshipers. Yes. We're the righteousness of God. We are his hands and feet in the earth. And we are his bride. Just telling you, that's who you are. I don't care what the devil says. Trumps him every time. All he can do is lie and deceive to us. Stop listening to lies. Stop listening to lies, church. We are more than conquerors. I just encourage you in your battle today, whatever you're battling, and you all raised your hands. It's time we stand up. It's time we wake up. It's time we become the true church of Jesus Christ on the earth. Yeah, we have battles, and we maybe mess up in the midst of the battle, but you know what? He said to stand up. Stand up and believe who you're called to be in this hour. We can't let fear, we can't let the news media, we can't let what's happening to sidetrack us. I think it was Dave who spoke, and he said, distractions was going to be one of the main things that the enemy was going to do. As a church, we can't get distracted. As a follower of God, as I daily walk my walk, I can't get distracted and forget who I am. And so I'm just saying, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is what the Word of God says. So let's stand tall. Let's fight this fight. Let's rescue as many as we can out of darkness. We are the light bearers. We are called to rescue people, to introduce them to Christ. We are imitators of him. And we need to walk in that. So I just encourage you to fight the good fight. In Peter it said, everything has been given to us. Everything. So that we can walk in his nature. In life and godliness, every promise has been given to us. So don't let the enemy lie that you don't have it in you. We have it in us. Sometimes we need to stir it up. We need to stir it up. I needed it stirred up in my last battle. I needed to hear the voice of the Lord. I needed to come into peace. And you know what? If we press into him, he loves that. If we want to go face to face with him, get into his presence, he loves that. That's what he's desiring for every one of us. He doesn't want us to fight these battles alone. He wants to fight them for us. And so I just encourage you this week to stand tall. Remember who we have living within us, not only individually, but as a church. So I just thank you today for listening to me, for just, God just said, remind them. I'm reminding you today of who you are in Christ. So bless you.
Thank you, Mary. A tremendously powerful word for all of us. And we were talking about prayer, taking the half hour of time to pray each day. This is what happens when people are moved by the Holy Spirit and we begin to pray and begin to agree together that we're going to do something together. And when we do something together, it starts working. You know, I like one person working, myself usually, work, Jake, work. But I like two people working, one right alongside of me, and then I like three. And when you get 10, then I don't want to work anymore. I let the 9 work. But in that thought about it is a time to realize that our souls is our mind, will, and emotion. And would someone... Jamie, would you get Jacob and put him on the piano? Get comfortable, Jacob. You can stand up if you want to. Last night we were in Detroit Lakes, and you know, sometimes you'd say, well, you don't want to sing that song because it's a funeral song. And the song would be because it was sang at a funeral. That doesn't make it a funeral song. Would you agree on that? And so I had, I had in my heart that when we understand that our mind, will, and emotion is in line with the Master and all of the things that He has called us to be and who we are, as Mary was laying this out. And so Jake sang this song last night, and something began to happen and people began to weep. They began because something was going on with their soul, their mind, their will, and emotions. And this song was sang by Chad and Jacob. Do you want a chair to sit down on, Jake? Or are you good there? Okay, all right.
I'm good.
What's that? This is good?
Okay,
it is good with your soul. I like that. All right. So with this, we will have a opportunity to come to the altar. You don't have to come to the altar. But I really believe that God is doing something. And by hearing this song, you can walk up to the altar. And I'm not going to be up on the stage and jump out to the altar. But God is. And if you're struggling like Mary and her three sisters, and one of them my wife, the battle was intense because you're hanging on something that you love so much. But the promises of God are yes and amen over all of that. And He's prepared a place for us. And so we have to come to a place that not only when our loved ones pass into eternity with Jesus, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. And it is well then with their souls, they're with Jesus. They won't have to go through the turmoil of life's battles. But we need to know that it is well with my soul also. So Jacob, would you just bring Chad isn't here, but Jake, you take it out and let's go and just do, the altar's open, come and you can just stand there and allow the Lord to come and minister to you. Go ahead there, Jake.
This world fade away. What will it be like when you call my name? In that moment, till I see you face to face. Waiting my whole life to hear you say, when will it be like when I hear that sound? All of heaven's angels crying out, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. In my whole life for that day. Till then I live to hear you say,
hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for preparing a place that we can go to and live with the King of all glory. And you're not a myth or a good idea. You're God, the Almighty. And we acknowledge you as Donna, Sandra, and Mary, and Barb, and Linda's mom. When you're right there at that time and you see them see what they're seeing, if you hear what I'm saying. And as she passed off into glory, Mary said she's seen the glimpse that was in her eyes. And you know what? I really believe that we can have that here on this earth. We just need to understand that God's prepared a place for us. And it's worth saying, well done, good and faithful servants of the Lord. Amen. All right, Jim.
As he was singing that song, I was just thinking, tells us that the Jesus is the source of everything, and it says for him and through him and to him are all things. And then I got a cross reference. It says God is the source, means, and end of all things. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the goal of everything. Therefore he should be praised and glorified forever. You know, and I was just thinking about, you know, Why is America, why can we go into the world and bring peace and freedom, you know, as we see chaos in the Middle East, and as we pull out of the Middle East. But we had 2,500 soldiers in there, and I believe that because they were touched by the source, somehow they were touched by the source of God to bring freedom, you know. And this is the same freedom that's been burnt into their hearts, they're willing to die for, you know. And that's what makes us Americans, because we're willing to die for that freedom. But the source of that freedom was God. He was the source. He's the sustainer of everything. And we personally got introduced to him. And we have him living in our hearts. Yes. We have that in our hearts and our lives, and we need to protect it. Amen? We need to protect it. Amen.
Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His goodness shine upon you. May His life be your life this next week. Been challenged, who is the church? We are the church of the Most High God. God bless you. And I'm just going, Jake, why don't you just keep singing that for two more times, would you? And you're dismissed at this time. Yeah, if you don't know someone here, go introduce yourself, and then you'll get to know them. All right, God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Amen.